welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Duckle.
And so on the show, we're talking about local rates. Now, this is so funny because we are recording today at the Hyatt in Auckland, and I was just having breakfast downstairs with one of Andrew's long-term friends, and I said, this is going to be such an exciting recording session today, Nick. We're talking about local rates.
And Nick knows everything about property, and yet...
his eyes glazed over. And I said, no, mate, this is going to be fascinating because a new report has come out from the Taxpayers Union just in December 2020, looking at which councils had the highest local rates. And of course, this is becoming more of an issue for property investors because a lot of the local councils are struggling with the effect of COVID. And the impact of that on property investors is that rates are increasing, often increasing at a rate faster than rent.
And inflation.
Exactly. And the impact of that is rates are taking up a higher and higher proportion of rent. And we would expect that to happen over the next 10 years. And I've got some examples of that. But listener of the show, Barry, has said, hey, can you talk to me about if I was buying a 500k property anywhere in New Zealand, which areas would rates make up the largest proportion of my rent? And we've done some numbers around this. So the first thing I want to do, though, is give you an example. So as you know, I've spent a lot of time in New Plymouth over the holidays, and I've been reading the Taranaki Daily News. And what caught my attention is New Plymouth District Council's proposal from the mayor to increase their rates in this year by 12%, an enormous amount. It's going to mean over $200 on average per ratepayer. But beyond that as well, they're proposing a 6.1% increase every year for the next 9 years in the local rates. And what that is going to mean is that over a 10-year period, if this proposal was accepted, there would be a 90.8% increase in rates compared to the current levels over the next 10 years. And that's not even accounting for any capital growth in the value of your properties, because how rates are calculated, a portion is called the general rates. And those general rates are calculated based on the value of your property. So for instance, I know that in the Waikato district, which is just one that I happen to be looking at, the general rate is $223.64 per 100k of capital value in your property, plus a whole heap of other targeted rates. And what that means is that the higher value your property is, the more rates are going to be collected. So over those 10 years in New Plymouth, not only are we going to see increases based on the current value of your property, but if the value of your property increases as well, there's going to be even further rates increases. So of course, as this starts to eat up more of your rent, that can potentially harm the cash flow position of our properties as property investors. This is why it's really important for us.
And one of the interesting things is when you go across the country, you might pay significantly more for a property in Auckland, say $1 million. But then when you look at somewhere like Christchurch, you might spend $500,000 and pay more in rates. And it's really interesting as an investor, you've got to weigh up really the bottom line. So this is where I always say things like using something like a gross yield calculation is such a weak instrument when calculating a property's viability for investment, because it doesn't look at what the true cost is. And I think you really have to take the time to do the numbers on the property and look at what might be changing in the future.
And similarly, at the moment, you might have average rates of $3,300 in Auckland. And let's say that in Christchurch, they're even slightly cheaper than that. Let's say they're $3,000 or $2,700. But of course, if your property is worth $1 million in Auckland versus 500K in Christchurch, then as a proportion of your rent, as a proportion of the value of your property, rates make up a much higher percentage in Christchurch versus Auckland.
And this is where we often talk about high-yielding properties. So Ed and I will talk about the benefits of buying high-yielding. And then you look at some of those smaller regions where your yield is the best. And when you actually factor in all of these costs like rates, which as a proportion are much higher, it might be that you get so much less out of the bottom line.
And we're going to get into this as well, because I do have some data for you. Now, what I do just want to say before we get into the highest and lowest rating regions and districts in New Zealand, in our standard model, we would allocate something like $2,700 to rates for a property that earns about $24,500 in rent per year. So it's $500 a week with 3 weeks vacancy. So within our standard model, we'd usually say, look, rates will make up something like 11% of the rent of your property. Now, if you had rent increases by 3% a year, which is what we usually forecast on, and you had those rates increasing like we've just talked about in New Plymouth, what that would mean is that instead of rates making up 11% of your rent in 10 years' time, in fact, they'd make up 15.6% of your rent in that time. Now, you might say, well, that's only 4.6 percentage points different, Ed. What does it make? Well, if your net yield is something like 5% or 4%, that's enough to make something that was positively geared now neutrally geared, or perhaps even slightly negative cash flow, even if interest rates don't increase. So it can have an impact. But let's talk about the highest rated councils within New Zealand. So within 2020, number one, which wasn't number one last year, was Carterton District Council, which is rating about $3,500 per property on average. That's up about $350 on the same time last year, so about a 10% increase. Beyond that, we've got Auckland Council, which is about $3,500 per property. Again, while that's a high number and they come up second on this list, I'm less concerned about how much Auckland rates make up as a percentage of the property because values there are much higher. Then we've got Tasman District with about $3,200 a year, Western Bay of Plenty, and then South Wairarapa. So some of those councils are just outside of the main cities, which is really interesting as well. Andrew, walk us through the ones that have had the biggest change over the last year.
Sure, and I'm just going to go on percentage change. I won't actually talk about the monetary value other than the top and the last. So Hurunui District, so this is just outside of Canterbury, they're up 56.14%. So a massive $1,000 or $1,100 change, going from 2,000 to about 3,000 from 2019 to 2020. Then you've got South Wairarapa with a 27.11% change. Then you've got Ashburton District Council with a 26.27% change. Fourth is South Waikato. And last is Macedon. So fifth is Macedon with a 16.23% change, but only a $375 change. So big difference from that Hurunui to the Macedon. And interestingly enough, you know, Hurunui, Ashburton, both around Canterbury, where there's a lot of infrastructure spend at the moment post-earthquake. So a big part of this is the fact that you've got more people moving there, potentially moving a bit further out, and so they need to increase their infrastructure.
And one of the things that councils are really struggling with at the moment is two things. First of all, they have to spend more because of the infrastructure demands within each of their local councils. So because we've had such a large immigration boom over the last 10, 20 years, we've had a lot of people coming to New Zealand. The people responsible for delivering the infrastructure, like roads and water waste and sewage, are these local councils. And so these councils need to fund that. But at the same time, a lot of them are very close to their debt ceilings. They can't borrow more money necessarily without raising more revenue in order to be able to fund that. And as a result, they're having to increase their rates because councils are limited to what they can bring in terms of revenue. Generally, it's rates and they might have some other ways that they're bringing in revenue, but they're pretty limited compared to central government. And that's one of the issues that I know certainly Auckland Council, which had something like $500 million worth of deficit that they had to make up for, is really struggling with at the moment.
And this is why the rates will increase by a huge amount, 50% rather than 2%, let's call it, for inflation. And so you do have to be aware of this when you are looking at investing in an area because it can affect your cash flow in such a drastic way.
Now, one of the interesting things as well is that there is a massive correlation, or an inverse correlation, I should say, between the number of people who live within a council area and the rates as a proportion or as a percentage of the value of your property. And that's because these smaller councils like Mackenzie District, for instance, which has something like 4,000 to 5,000 people, they still have to fund this infrastructure, but they've got fewer people there
to divvy it over.
Exactly. Now, Mackenzie rates are actually really affordable in dollar terms, but when you take it as a proportion of how much their properties are actually worth, their rates are relatively high. So generally what you see is when you take those rates and divide it by the average value of the property, these smaller councils will have higher rates as a proportion of that value of your property. Now, I haven't layered the yield data across this data set, but what that probably means is that if you're in a smaller town, rates are making up a higher proportion of your rent relative to those larger cities is generally what you would see, which again is why you might see a really good gross yield in a small town, but the net yield might be similar, not the same, but similar or more similar to a larger city than you'd otherwise think. Now, Barry, I've got to come to your question, which is, well, what are the cheapest rates for a 500K property? And I do need to disclaimer that these aren't going to be exactly accurate because I've had to do some rough calculations in order to be able to divide some things and multiply some things to get it here.
Spoken like a true economist, divide some things, multiply some things.
Through this process, what we would estimate, and this is an estimate, although Queenstown Lakes District Council have the 14th highest rates in the country, they're actually the cheapest as a proportion of your property value. And that's closely followed by Thames Coromandel District, Wellington, Hutt City, Auckland, Upper Hutt, and Tauranga. So a lot of these main centres have those cheapest rates relative to the property values that you have. So even though Auckland Council, for instance, has the second highest rates in dollar terms, about $3,500, as a percentage of the value of their property, they're actually in fifth place. They're the fifth cheapest rates in the country relative to the property that you're actually buying, the average property within that catchment area.
The last thing I want to talk about is thinking about things like short-term accommodation stay. So often there will be a margin if your property has the ability to be used for short-term accommodation. So for example, Tim Weston, one of our property partners, he uses property as a bed and breakfast as well as being his home, his Grand Designs home. And he pays significantly higher rates than a property that would be comparable at the same value. So you do have to think about that in consideration. Not that you buy Tim's house as an investment. And I guess the whole point is, you just need to, very great question by the way, but we always need to look at not what the cost is, but what the overall deal looks like when you're looking at an investment.
And I think what's going to be important for councils to think about as well is if they're putting up the costs for landlords and for all property owners by 6%, 7% a year, just taking that New Plymouth example, is that a portion of that will be passed on as rent. If the cost to provide rental accommodation increases, naturally the price of rental accommodation will increase as well. So if we see that rates take up a larger and larger proportion of rent, I would expect rents to increase as well in order to provide the same rental return to property investors, all other things being equal. Now, of course, that's going to be contrary to some of the central government's goals around affordability of housing and affordability of rental accommodation. But of course, this is what the council is going to need to do in order to balance their budgets, because it won't be sustainable for them to keep on borrowing more at the current debt ceiling limits. So this is going to be something to watch. It's not necessarily something that I would be freaking out about right now and thinking, oh my gosh, if New Plymouth really does increase its rates at that level, perhaps my properties might not be cash flow positive in the future. I'd expect there to be some other market movements to adjust and be taken account of as well, but it's certainly something to keep your eyes on as property investors. Let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you've got a question for us like Barry did, send us a text. Our number is 5522. It'd be great to hear what else you'd like to hear about. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.